It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Backpack Broadcasting continues to bring you the best original sports content, but now you can get more of the content you love. For as little as $3 a month, you can get access to bonus content, including behind-the-scenes footage and interviews from the Sports Walk, Sideline Stories, or the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast. All this exclusive content comes via Patreon. There are tiered levels of patronage, and each Backpack Broadcasting patron receives exclusive perks. Your support helps Backpack Broadcasting create more of the original content that you love. Visit Backpack Broadcasting's Patreon page and become a patron today. Hard to Tell podcast episode 131. Still quarantining, still playing it safe through a crazy time in America. Dexter Henry here with Brian Fonseca, and we have a guest joining us for the third time. Good friend,
hello,
Kim Martin, Kimberly Martin, NFL reporter for ESPN. Now that's right, ESPN. Last two times you talked to
each time I've been here, I've had a new job. I don't know if you guys.
Let me think about
I don't
know. That. You know what? Both times you were with your previous employer.
I was with Yahoo?
Okay. Yes, okay. Both times.
I don't know.
The very first one, I don't know.
You know what? You might be right. That first time you might would have been with the Washington Post.
I got to go back and check.
Yeah.
Which was the most recent of the many others before, right before Yahoo?
Washington Post. Yeah. You know what? I think you're right, Kim, because we talked about people talking about how you were switching jobs so often.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yeah. You know, I don't understand why. People would think that's weird. I don't know what.
I'll say it like I said before. Kim is moving up as she should. Kim knows I'm proud of her, and I've shared that already. So congrats on the new gig with ESPN.
Thank you.
As a reporter, we'll get into that and talk a little bit about that and the new gig. First of all, as we're asking everybody, how are you during this time and dealing with the coronavirus pandemic and everything else going on?
Knock on wood. I'm okay. Husband, dog, all our animals are fine. Family's fine. We're in Jersey. So, you know, New York, Jersey, it's COVID city. So the last couple months have been crazy, but so far we're all right.
That's good. Yeah, definitely.
How soon was it that you took the job? Like, right? Wasn't this right
before? Are we going to get right in it? So, I will
no, because
say.
I want to know how
oh,
that
no.
affects you.
Oh,
like,
no.
As you
no,
take,
no.
And I'm going to explain to you why, probably off mic, actually, now that I think about it, not on air. But yeah, there's a reason.
My orientation in Bristol was the same week that the NBA shut down. So, it's like I left a couple days of orientation, came back to Jersey. It might have been that night or the next day that, like, the NBA was done. All of a sudden, I'm like, do we need to get – how do we get groceries? I got to get a mat, you know. So this is probably the – depends on your perspective. Initially, I felt like this is the absolute worst time to start a new job during a pandemic. But, you know, I think the adjustment has been interesting because think about it. You're new to a new place, but I don't have any frame of reference for what working at ESPN is like outside of a pandemic. Like, I don't, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's a really, like, trippy thing. Sort of like, okay, so, like, I remember that, like, the next week I was sort of like, no, I have a contract. I do work here. Because it's like the whole world is different. And you're like, did I, like, dream that? So it's been interesting, you know. But everybody's been cool. It's been, I think, the network, my producers, like everybody is just trying to figure out how do you adjust to the new landscape of delivering content right now. So it's an exciting time. because you don't know what things are going to look like when we get back to sports, you know, when sports comes back in some capacity, and we don't know. Yeah, it is exciting, but it's also nerve-wracking because you don't know what it'll be like. So
Right. There's
some challenges.
Yeah, it really is an interesting time in journalism, sports journalism, period. You really don't know a lot of what's going on. I mean, I know you were very excited for this opportunity, Kim, as you had previous years at Yahoo. And as we said before, everybody's like, Kim keeps changing these jobs. did that pop into your mind at least when you announced it? Because when I saw it, I remember I texted you and I was like, yeah, like, you know, we talked a little after that. But did it pop in your mind? Here we go again. People are going to have this thought.
You know what? I think people are always going to have that reaction. If you had asked me in January, like, hey, you know, like, how are you? Like, I was thinking, like, okay, so this year at Yahoo, I want to do this and da da da. Like, I was not at all thinking that a couple months later I would have a new gig. So, with all the other opportunities that I've had, this was the same in that I was not looking for it. I was not expecting it. They reached out, like, hey, do you want to sit down? And I, even during the talk, I was like, okay, this isn't really an interview. This is like a get to know you, like, this is where you're at. But, you know, I definitely, it was Super Bowl week that I met with ESPN. And so I was thinking about like after this meeting, I'm going to interview Dak Prescott on free agency. So I wasn't even thinking that I would have, like, by the time I landed from the Super Bowl, like, I had a job offer. You know, so it's like that's wild. And that's not at all how I expected to cap my Super Bowl week. So,
yeah, nothing.
It's been good.
Nothing ever goes in this industry as you expected, as we both know. Now, with working from home, you talked about some of the challenges there, Kim. We recently saw you did this piece with Kirk Cousins and how he's dealing with adjusting to life from home and training from home. And I thought ESPN did a really good job in the remote way they were able to do it. And I know some of the challenges of that. How was that experience of working on a story, a package, and working with your producers? Everybody's remote. You're not seeing this footage and you're doing these Skype interviews. Like, how's that?
Well, that was crazy because your first video feature, you know, that's what every ESPN reporter gets excited about, like, to be on site with a subject, sitting across from them, asking them questions, like, getting a feel for the vibe, the location. And so, you know, I reached out. Originally, it was supposed to be, I was picturing a story. So, like, I reached out trying to do a story on Kirk and multiple guys, which I ended up writing as well. But, you know, I did a story on Kirk and Demaryius Davis and Golden Tate and all these guys, how they're quarantining and working out differently. But Kirk, since he was the first one I interviewed, they were sort of like, hey, maybe we could get him on camera. The tricky thing now with COVID, as you understand, is, okay, how do you get a crew to someone? How do you relate to the audience what Kirk Cousins' workout routine is like? Because he's in Florida at his parents' house. He has two small kids under the age of 3, so that's why they ended up going down there in the first place, just to have help with the kids and with his training. So it's like, how is he going to feel if I say, like, hey, we're going to send, you know, a couple people down there, is that okay? You know, luckily, Kirk was cool. He was like, yeah, no problem. We ended up doing a Zoom interview, myself, my producer, him, on it. And even that is strange. And his trainer obviously was on the Zoom call, but it's strange because sort of like, walk us through what we're going to see. Like, what are you guys doing today? And not being on the ground there. But I got to tell you, like, watching that piece, I was like, this is why ESPN is dope. Like, because we did Zoom interviews and we had a crew down there the same day that I interviewed him, like, recording everything. And the way it was spliced together, it's not anyone's ideal situation, a Zoom, you know what I mean? But the way it came out, I was like, I was just like, credit to the producers, like the editors, like they're just, everybody is just top notch there, and they killed it. So I thought that was a promising sign, like, even in the midst of a pandemic, right? We're trying to find workarounds and trying to get players comfortable with the idea of even still doing these features. And I think that's been you know, that's the situation I'm in now, trying to get guys to do features and us figuring out, you know, should we send a crew? Should we send the reporter? Should we send, you know, like, even though the sun's out, you know, it's like 80 something degrees in New York, like, you know, Dexter's got me on this podcast in the middle of the afternoon.
Oh, wow.
Get my tan on outside.
Wow.
No, but like, even like, you would think that COVID was done. So right. Some people are out and about and enjoying the weather, but it's still a really big thing from a legal standpoint, liability standpoint, like just trying to get agents, players, teams, like comfortable with like, okay, so who's going to be around my guy? So, you know, that's a challenge. I'm not sure what the season's going to bring, what media access is going to be like.
Yeah.
That's another concern. Cause I could see teams being like, in normal times we'd let you roll up in here, mm-hmm. but no, why don't we just do a Skype or a Zoom or a FaceTime? How about that? So.
Yeah, it's interesting that this could be. I know Brian's probably got questions about that, but I know it's interesting that that could be the future in doing this stuff. And you're right, ESPN did a fantastic job on that. There's some stuff in stories I've been working on that I took inspiration from that. I'm like, oh, I like how they did that. Or like, it's ideas I took from it that I thought was really good. Brian, I know you got questions about access and that stuff, so go.
Yeah, I guess first would be to start, like, before even that, because you talked about, you know, getting in touch with athletes, and I'm wondering, like, how has that become even more of a hassle in terms of trying to get different guys who probably don't even want to do it in a regular basis, and now they're going to say that, hey, you know, we don't really want to do this even now because of the situation, whereas you would think that they would want to because they're more wide open, but, you know, guys are just going to not want to talk if they don't want to talk anyway.
Yeah, you know, I think now that we've gone from the craziness of COVID to now what we're seeing from a social justice police brutality situation, like, I feel like we've all been stuck at home. And so we've been listening to the COVID stuff to now what's happening in the country. And I think when you reach out to guys, you know, some guys are cool. Some guys are fine. They, you know, it doesn't matter. They're fine hopping on whatever, being interviewed for a story. The challenge, though, is that not everybody's the same. Right? So when it's, you know, we're talking peak COVID, you know, that's on everybody's mind. The likelihood of trying to get somebody to agree to sit down, some guys are cool. Other guys are like, other guys might be, because we're all at home, they might be using this time to deal with, you know, to be with their family, to be engaged, because, you know, in the off season, their attention is split with the training, and then you got OTAs and mini camps. So some guys have just sort of wanted to like lay low, which you understand, because even as a quote unquote regular person, you're doing the same thing. You know what I mean? Like, you're trying to check in with family. Like, you're like, again, being in New York, New Jersey, it's like, okay, so, you know, making sure you have essential like gloves, mat, like all that stuff is
probably preoccupied mentally exhausted.
With. Yeah. Right. So I think there are some guys that are like, yeah, whatever. Like, we could talk for a story. We could do a sit down, like, come, you can fly in, you know, and that's cool. And then other guys are sort of like, not right now. And you understand both sides. Some people just want to get back to football so badly that, you know, it's like, yeah, I'll talk about whatever. But especially now that COVID has sort of been eclipsed by George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery and all these cases and the protests that we're seeing, you know, guys are exhausted. Some guys are exhausted. Some guys want to talk, you know, so I just think it's very heavy for all of us. And I just think it's a case by case. And sometimes you strike out with one, but another one's cool. And that's sort of the process, like, you have to keep reaching out and seeing, you know, what you'll be able to get.
Go ahead, Brian.
And I guess in terms of now getting into the NFL portion or the season portion of this, because obviously we have a lot of questions there. I mean, the NFL was one of the few leagues that was pretty much on schedule up until, I believe, what is it, minicamp that would have already happened, or OTAs or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, what is this going to start to look like now? Like, what are the conversations that are happening in regards to, can the season start on time? You know, obviously empty arenas or not, in some cases that they want to have. So,
yeah, you know, the NFL was the one entity that I thought, you know what, this season will kick off on time. And I felt that for a couple weeks, even with the restrictions here in Jersey and New York. Like, I still felt like the NFL, you know, they were one league where it wasn't going on. Like, the league wasn't in full go when COVID, like in March and stuff. And, you know, where the NBA had to be like, okay, let's shut it down right now. The NFL has had the opportunity to sit back and watch how things have played out for other leagues. I also think we have enough time until September. When I talked to players for the story about training during quarantines and stuff, a lot of them, you know, were saying it wouldn't surprise me if we just rolled up like right before the season, you know, or like right at the end of what would be training camp and sort of, or, you know, we're trying to acclimate the rookies in training camp when really that's the portion of the off season where we're supposed to be like planning for the season itself, not trying to get everybody up to speed with how we do things. So I don't have any doubt that the season will start on time. I just never thought the NFL would even let it get to that point. I think across the nation, I think politically, I think politicians are under pressure to jumpstart the economy as quickly as possible, you know, and they're trying to balance that with the safety concerns. And you see New York and New Jersey and all these other like governors have come out and said like, okay, such and such date, well, you know, you can allow people to come into facilities. You know, some players have said like coaches, you know, they're getting the feeling like coaches will be like, get ready 2 to 3 weeks. We may, you know, be able to let you in. So I don't know. What about you guys? But I honestly, there wasn't really a doubt for me that the NFL would start, you know, within the last 3 weeks. I was sort of like, yeah, I'm going to be at a stadium or something like, yeah. I didn't think that wouldn't happen.
Yeah, I felt like when this all started, September, to your point, was far enough away to where, all right, you know, we should have everything together by then. And now we're damn near in June. And it's like, okay, we have a revolutionary uprising happening, / there's still a pandemic going on. And people have just decided that they're bored with the pandemic, so they want to just go back
outside. It's hot outside. It's hot outside.
You know what happens when it gets hot outside.
Yeah.
We don't know how to act, yeah.
And, you know, people are fearful of a second wave, and we don't know if that's going to happen. What's this going to look like if it, in fact, it does happen? And are people going to care, or are people just going to deal with it and be like, look, this is what it is now. Let's just figure it out when we figure it out, but we have to go out and get this money. So, I mean, there's a lot of scenarios that are playing out to where sometimes I just want to chill out and be like, look, I'm just going to go into my bubble, work on what I'm going to work on, and not really think about it because I don't have the answers.
Yeah.
And I think this pandemic, it's important to resign yourself to the fact that, yo, I don't know. That's a fine answer. I don't know.
You know, it's funny when I talked to Demaryius Davis for the story, he gave this funny quote where he was like, you know, the pandemic don't know nothing about football season, don't care when football season starts. Like, so me as an athlete, like, I can't get caught up in, is the season going to start on time? Like, man, I really hope it starts on time. Like, I kind of have to just wait until Sean Payton says, okay, guys, like, this is the date you need to show up. Because the Saints are one of those teams that said, Sean Payton was like, we're not doing any of the virtual stuff, just show up in the best shape.
And he had it. So he's dealt
right.
with it.
Right.
So even though I'm saying I think the season will start on time, I wonder about a second wave of this. Because now you're talking the fall, talking flu season, all that stuff. And if COVID comes back, then what? Is there a season disruption, or do we just sort of play on? You know, I wonder about the fans in the stands. I'm not as sure about where we are with the fans. It wouldn't shock me if games started on time, but stadiums are empty. And then as the season goes on, we get fans in seats. The fan part is interesting, and I feel for them. Because it's like, okay, you spent money, you've been season ticket holders for decades or whatever, your family's had season tickets, and you know, you don't want to not be there, and part of the off season experience is going to training camp and mini camps and getting the autographs from players and having your kids get autographs. And is it do you want your kids that close? Do the players want to get that close? Like, what's that, you know? So it's a lot of unknowns. I think the only certainty in my mind is that football's coming. It's just in what shape, you know, what form we're going to see it.
Are you, it's funny, Kim, because you brought up some stuff about the fans and stuff that I was going to ask you. So I was glad you addressed that. Are you concerned about, I mean, there's so much unknown, but are you concerned about how you will be able to cover this as a reporter? You know, we're all used to going into the locker rooms, but that might not be the case anymore. You know what I mean? And press conferences will obviously be different, you know, probably with some social distancing involved. Has that crossed your mind, just your safety going and covering the sport?
Yeah, I mean, I've thought about even the stories that I'm trying to work on now. And if it's great if a player wants you to sit down with them, and then you think, oh, that wouldn't entail me driving or getting on a plane. Right. You know, like, you have those thoughts. But as a reporter, at least for me, I'm like, all right, whatever safety precautions I got to take, like, that's what I'm going to do. So when the season starts, I think as a reporter, you know, sports reporters, like, we never ever call out sick. You know what I mean? Like, we would show up, which is not a great thing.
No.
But we would show up to the newsroom. Like, when I covered high school sports, show up to the newsroom, like, even cover games, like, outside football games, like, and be sick, not well, like, go to press boxes and just sort of, you just grind through it, you know? Not that writing a story is such a, you know, immense feat, but, you know, there are no days off in sports journalism. Like, that's how we are wired.
Yeah.
So, when it comes down to the season, like, I've had thoughts like, do I really want to be on a plane? So, like, what, like, are they selling every seat? Like, is that recycled air? Like, what's happening with that? Is that, you know, like, I've had those thoughts. But at the end of the day, like, to me, I can't imagine post game locker room on a Sunday and, like, not having reporters scurrying around and, like, going to, like, I can't.
Yeah.
Picture that. And it's like, even I know that we'd still be up in there trying to be socially distant. And that's what worries me, is that we are going to see changes to access, and the NFL and teams will. I talked to a PR director this week, and he was sort of, you know, I was trying to gauge, you know, like, okay, when things open up, like, you know, I said something about media. He's like, I don't even know if media will be allowed in here. Like, I don't know if I'll be here. You know, like, I don't know if I'll be here during training. You know, like, we have no idea. And I think with so many unknowns,
right,
it's a perfect opportunity to be really strict with the access. So I don't know how you police the access post game. Like, you can't do a, I don't know, you can't really do a Zoom interview post game. But if they want to, they'll figure it out. They'll figure out a way that, like, okay, we're only going to bring two players to the podium. Media has to be, like, this far back. Or during the week, I could easily see, like, Zoom calls and Skype interviews with players, because we're doing it right now, you know? And it's sort of like, oh, well, I could easily see a team saying, well, we're doing this. Yeah, so training camp, you know, started, but we're not really allowing, you know, superfluous people in the building. So why don't we just agree that these players will talk via Zoom during training camp? You know, like, right, it's the little things that have me worried.
The Sports Walk is back. Watch Season 3 of Backpack Broadcasting's original web series that brings you the opinions of real sports fans. The first two seasons and current season are available now for viewing on the Sports Walk YouTube channel and Facebook page. Check out the 2017 NYC WebFest official selection and see what other sports fans have to say on the hottest issues in sports today. It's easy. Just take the Sports Walk.
You said you think there definitely will be football by September. It's just a matter of how it's going to be. Do you think, with that being said, do you feel like, as a country, and when we're talking about sports returning, do you feel like we may be moving too fast towards that? Or is it kind of right on time now because people have been missing it? People want it. Like, I know you want it too, because it's weird too, right? Because although we all are concerned as journalists about our health,
our livelihood is tied
to it. Our livelihood's tied to it too, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm torn, honestly. And especially, you know, obviously new person at ESPN, you know, I'm an NFL reporter. If there's no NFL, you know, okay, this isn't like I've seen newspapers, newsrooms have high school writers and sports writers during COVID write about health, like write about other things.
Yeah.
You know, it for me, entering a new job at a time like this, obviously on one hand, yeah, man, I need the NFL to come back to justify my existence to some degree. However, the other side of me is it really would be a shame to rush to get us to a point where things feel like normal and season starts on time and then have a setback. Like have a ton of guys, like have one guy on a team test positive for COVID. And then now it's like, then what are we quarantining the whole team? Are the Bucks, are the Chiefs, is the whole team quarantined? Like, what do we do? You know, that I think that scares me. Like, what happens when a player tests positive? Because I have no doubt that's going to happen. What happens? Mm-hmm. Because then it's not just the player. Then you have to, again, this is why the media access is so interesting to me. Because you saw in the NBA with Rudy Gobert. Yep. It's like, you know, and then all of a sudden he – coughing on record, you know, it's like, did this player infect his teammates and media, other staffer? You know, I don't know.
There's
It's a lot of unknown. So I'm torn, honestly, because clearly we miss sports. We love sports. This time period has reminded us why sports are so beloved and vital to, you know, our everyday just joy, right? But at the same time, you know, sports isn't everything, and that sounds strange coming from somebody whose career is tied to sports being there. But when you look at the death tolls, like, sports isn't everything. So I hope that, I'm sure the NFL is doing the best it can. I don't know how you, with these many people involved, I don't know how you are able to do something that 100% is foolproof. I don't know if there is that answer.
Yeah, I don't know to that. What was it like covering the draft? I want to get into some off-season stuff with you before we get some other stuff. What was it like covering the draft? Because everything was remote, and I watched some of it, and it was just like, you know, it looks kind of crazy, but I think they did a pretty good job with it.
Yeah, I thought it went well.
The draft, I thought it was good. That's the interesting thing because, again, that's right. I started mid-March, and so like there was this like pause for me as far as like, okay, assignments and stuff like that. Like the plan was always to like ease me into the gig anyway. So the draft, it was like my bosses were sort of like, you know, you don't even have like home equipment, because why would you? We wouldn't think that you would, you know, 3 weeks into your job that you would need, like somebody would need to come to your home and set up home like equipment, but then we also don't want to send somebody to your house, you know? So the draft was, this was the first year where I wasn't at a facility and, you know, or like, and not being on TV or, you know, this was the first time and it was strange, but it was interesting to watch the virtual draft because I was like, oh boy, how is this gonna go? You know, you had NFL Network, ESPN, you had Goodell, you had different things, and I was just like, oh boy. But again, I think I've had a couple moments of like, this is why like I'm proud to be a part of ESPN, because I think while they took some heat, you know, while they took some heat for how some things were done during the draft, I thought overall, like the quality of it, the production, like in the midst of a pandemic, like this was a huge undertaking with all these guys and all, like it was a lot. And I thought I love seeing coaches and GMs and owners like with their kids, their families, like, because again, like football, it's fun. This is not politics. This is not life or death. You know what I mean? Like, so it was nice to see people in their own element and being able to share draft night with their families and their kids, because most often they're like in their war rooms, like, you know, Also, and it's still that same like stress, right? Of like, you know, damn, the guy we wanted isn't there. But there was just some humanness, right. I thought, this year that really it was good to sit back and see.
Yeah, no, I thought that was dope. I really did like that. I did like it.
How would you describe the flow of the offseason just as a whole? Because that was when all of this was kind of starting, right? It was those first 2 months. So how did that maybe disrupt the flow of a regular offseason, if it did at all? Because obviously there's less like face-to-face meetings, you would think, and more Zoom calls and stuff like that, as we mentioned.
Yeah. Like, well, for me specifically, when I got the job, you know, I had orientation. And then a couple weeks later, it was supposed to be the NFL owners meetings. I was like, all okay, right. Go down there. You're not going to be on TV. Like, you don't have to file anything. Just, like, network and introduce yourself to people. Like, because, again, when you've changed jobs a few times, like I have, there are some people who still dial my old Newsday 631 number. I'm like, that was, like, 4 jobs ago. Like, what?
I was guilty of that at one point.
Like, why would you think I still had that Long Island? But anyway, so for me, like, I'm like, okay, the owner's meeting is going to be great, because a lot of coach, you know, that you, it's like, I just saw some people and it's like, I was working for Yahoo. So it's, you know what I mean? So it's like, you want that time. So that being canceled, I was like, oh boy. And so when you're quarantined and you're not able to be in buildings, you're not able to get face to face, like that, the relationship aspect of this business is so, it's so important. And so when not having that opportunity has been challenging, I think when you think about what an off season is like, I mean, you go straight from combine February to free agency, and then you got the draft, and then before you know it, it's like OTAs, and then we're in like mandatory mini camps, and you're like, there's only 1 month of break really before training camp. So the whole off season is just busy with stuff. You've got the media at NFL owners meetings. You've got all this like buzz and stuff. Now granted, this off season hasn't been short on stuff. Right. But it's just the routine of it all. That being disrupted has been wild. It really has been wild. But again, you're seeing, I think, what we're seeing, I'm sure we'll get into this a little later, but you're seeing, because everybody's quarantined and being stuck at home, people are witness to a lot of things that they probably wouldn't pay. Now, I don't want to say they wouldn't pay that much attention to, but because we're stuck at home, you are kind of forced to see some things. And that could be whether it's severity of the pandemic or whether it's the severity of the state of America right now. So I think all of that has played into a wild 2020 offseason. You could not even, like, if somebody had told us this in December, when we were thinking about New Year's Eve's plan, like, we would have been like,
you made this up.
There were people like that in March.
Right. They're like, yep, no way.
Get the hell out of here. You know what I mean?
Kim, speaking of the offseason and moves and the transactions we did see, I guess, pre-draft, what do you think, which teams do you think really improved themselves, you know, before the draft, through the draft? What are, maybe give me 3 teams that you thought really did a good job of improving themselves.
Well, I will say one of the best free agency moves to me was obviously the Bucks getting Tom Brady. Now, I am still shocked that Tom Brady is a Tampa Bay Buccaneer.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's so, it again, as some, Dexter, you know, once you cover the Jets for so many years, or once you're so used to covering the AFC East, mm-hmm. like, he is the face of it. So it's so surreal. And the fact that like Todd Bowles is on that set, it's just all so surreal.
Yeah.
But I think that, now I'm not saying the Bucs are winning the Super Bowl by any means, but I think in, to be able to get Tom, and then, I mean, Gronk is not the same guy,
mm-hmm.
but automatically you add guys who know how to win. Like, you pair Tom Brady with the anti-Belichick from the standpoint of Bruce Arians is like cursing up a storm, like likes to have fun. Like, he is just like, you meet him and you're like, that guy, I want to have a beer with him. Like, I want to hang with him. Like, he is down to earth, like funny, curses like a sailor. It's just such a more relaxed, like he's on his scooter during practices, like, you know, going from one group to the other. It's just a more relaxed vibe. Now, so that's obviously a lot different than the Patriots,
yes.
rigid
yes.
Way of doing things. But I think in Brady, you get a guy who finally feels like he's wanted and appreciated. And you get a guy who's won 60 goals. And he can help instill that winning tradition. And he's got some weapons. And he's got – Bowles has a defense on the upswing, right? So
– But the major question – I'm sorry to cut you off, Kim. The major question –
Go ahead, it's your show. Go ahead.
No. You are bringing up all these great points about Brady. But I feel like with saying that, there has to be one major question that I have to ask you as somebody that covers this league. Does he still have anything left? Do you think that he's done? And because what you talked about how he can impact the team, but I guess what I'm questioning is how much of an impact can he actually have on that team? Or do you think?
You're trying to say he's just, you know, a result of Bill Belichick's genius?
No, I am not that person.
You just riled up Brian
to just be an instigator in this. And what I'm saying, I'm going to ask him, you know what, I'm going to say this with my chest. I'm not saying make any declarations, but I'm going to ask this question. Uh-huh. Kimberly Martin, do you think mm-hmm. he's washed or not?
No, because Kimberly Martin has made the mistake of, in the past, being like, I don't know, man. I understand. I think Brady, he's not the same guy, right? But what makes him great, what makes him have 6 Super Bowls is he still walks around like that guy who is the 100-something whatever pick in the draft. Like, he still walks around. Mm-hmm. Like, he's married to a supermodel, has all these Super Bowls, but his entire career, he's played with that chip. So the minute the chorus starts getting louder, I'm like, this guy's done. The Patriots, that's when Brady's like, oh, really? Okay. He hits you with the Cam gift. Like, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's that is what you love about his competitive spirit. So that's why I started by saying the Bucs aren't winning the Super Bowl. Now, disclaimer, if they do win the Super Bowl, please destroy this tape. But
We will replay that.
I'll jump on with you. They're not winning the Super Bowl. I don't think they are either.
So. I don't think they are either. So we're all in agreement.
But by getting him, and in that division where you have mm-hmm. Breeze, you have all these good quarterbacks. I think the Bucs did a great job as far as becoming relevant, automatically increasing yeah. the talent level. And if he's going to be the same Brady up here, he's going to raise the level of competition from the guys around him. And they're going to raise it automatically just because it's like Tom Brady just walked in the building.
Yeah.
So I love the Bucs. You know, one team, I was sort of like, what are they doing? So the Texans.
Explain it, Kim. Explain it for us, please.
Before we get to the Texans,
Kim at a loss for words.
I'm gonna let you think about what you actually want to say before we get to the Texans. Let me just say this about the Bucs. So I'm kind of down on Tom Brady in terms of just physically and what I saw last season down the stretch, losing to Tennessee in the playoffs the way that he did. However, I think what's different now, to your point, is that Mike Evans is there. Gronkowski's going to be back with him. He has a whole bunch of weapons on that Tampa Bay team where it's like, all right, if there's somebody who can figure out how to, I guess, survive for 2 more seasons with all of this at his disposal, including mm-hmm. Rob Gronkowski, Dexter, current WWE 24/7 champion, you might have a team that can go 10-6 and come out of a division that, you know, it's not great. A winnable division for them. I would still say the Saints are the best team there, but they can get a wild card spot in the NFC. I wouldn't think that'd be crazy.
Okay.
I mean, you went from Jameis to Brady, you know, and that's not me trying to rip on Jameis. That's just, I think with Jameis, every week when you turn on the television, you didn't know what was going to happen.
Word.
With Brady, you don't know if he's going to win the game or not, but you kind of have an idea, like, if there's a chance to win, like, Right. Like you think like, okay, I can bet on him.
Yeah.
You know, I think that instantly makes the team better. Now, the Texans.
Please make sense of it.
I don't. And, you know, I don't understand it. Especially because them trading away Hopkins for,
What was the exact return? Do you remember?
So they gave, the Texans gave their fourth round and Hopkins.
Okay, I found it.
For a second rounder.
I found it. It was, so they traded DeAndre Hopkins and a fourth rounder, a 2020.
And David Johnson. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they got back David Johnson, a second and a fourth.
Second and a fourth.
But the fourth is in 2021.
The fourth is in 2021. The second was this past year.
This is
right around the time, as I'm sure you're about to point out anyway, that Stephon Diggs goes
for a first round pick. Yes.
Yeah, for a first round pick, among other things.
Yes. And that to me is why I'm so stunned still. Because Bill O'Brien, I mean, the moves as head coach and GM and de facto, you know, ruler, you know, there have been some questionable moves leading into this year. And then we have Hopkins who, I mean, like great quarterbacks are key, right?
Yeah.
And I just think about Deshaun Watson. I'm just like, this kid literally has to carry them like he did last year, I feel like, you know, and that's a lot. And I think great quarterbacks, you're privileged to have really good, great quarterbacks in your system. You're also privileged to have top notch, like best in the league wide receivers. Like that's not something that you're just like, oh, okay, like I'm just going to give that away for this running back. Like I understand you got to make finances fit and all, but to me, it's like DeAndre Hopkins, you know how many teams, you know, and I'm sure the Bills were like,
I wish I knew the price was like that.
And also, the trading for David Johnson portion of it, somebody who, you know, has an injury history and trading for a running back
in
general, just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Somebody who's been in the league for a while. And on top of that, this is, I guess, the crowning part of the return you get for arguably the best receiver in the league. Which led me to the belief that there was obviously something more going on, which we saw reports about right after between Bill O'Brien and DeAndre Hopkins, and Bill O'Brien's going to continue to ruin that team for as long as.
What you hate to see is there's just always rumblings of something.
Yes,
right.
You know, when it comes to him and like players that are sort of jettisoned out, like there's always something. And DeAndre, since you know, on the record, has sort of been, you know, praise Bill O'Brien, was like, you know, like I'm happy here, like I'm good here, you know, so he took the high road. But because there's always rumblings, you're sort of like this, you don't want to see guys move for non-football reasons, you know what I mean? It's like if you can't keep him financially and you're like, okay, we want to see you flourish elsewhere, like I'm you know, like that to me is a different feeling. But again, DeAndre Hopkins going to the Cardinals, like that's another team that I'm excited to watch with Kyler Murray. I mean, Larry Fitzgerald, man, he will
not go
anywhere.
What school did the great Larry Fitzgerald go to? Sorry? we have silence from Kim again because she refuses to utter the words the great University of Pittsburgh out of her mouth.
For people only listening and now watching, Kim is rolling her eyes. She's rolled it in three different directions, actually, which is pretty impressive.
It's not impressive. She does that all the time. That's the kind of energy she gives off.
That's kind of,
especially around.
I rub my eyes on my whole chest. I mean.
Hey everybody, Brian Fonseca here to tell you about the multi-time award-winning series out now that is Side Hustle, which is created, executive produced, hosted, and edited by me, Brian Fonseca. Side Hustle is a sit-down interview series that taps into sacrifice, the odd avenues taken to progress closer to your ultimate dreams, and some jokes as well. Because, you know, we always gotta find it funny, and we always gotta find time to laugh. Side Hustle has been named to the best TV and web series category at several different film festivals, including the 2020 International New York Film Festival, the New York Movie Awards, and a host of others. Be sure to watch Season 1 in full right now on either BrianFonseca.net or YouTube.com/BrianFonseca. Brian with a Y, remember.
All 8 episodes, trailers, teasers, and promo are free to watch, and the series as a whole is approximately 2 hours long. Everyone has a story, everyone has a side hustle. Be sure to watch Season 1, out now.
Yeah, he's so great.
Yeah. Still in the league. Still in the league. I still think he has something left.
Yeah, no, I was impressed that he wanted to come back.
Because I was shocked.
He's a guy who I think he can, he's to me is like an Alex Smith where it's like, he can do so many great things in life. Mm-hmm. Like he doesn't necessarily need football, right? And I thought with, you know, with Kingsbury and like, and Kyler, I was interested to see how long it would take for them to gel, for this offense to be, you know, the firehouse, that the fire thing that like we all like that we were promised. Like, yes. Okay, Cliff is gonna bring this and Kyler's gonna be running all over people. So for Larry to say, like, yeah, I still have some left and this is where I wanna be, I mean, like, that's pretty impressive. I think adding DeAndre Hopkins into that mix, like, that's going to be interesting on Sundays. I'm excited to see
so
that.
You got
Kyler, it's great for Kyler.
So you got Tampa, you got Arizona.
Oh, well, we had to kill the Texans.
We killed the Texans. Any AFC teams that you really...
Who else do we like?
What about the Bills getting Stephon Diggs, actually?
And
I guess we could do the AFC East in totality now that Brady's there. Brady's gone from that situation, I guess.
I mean, to me, like, the AFC East, like, the Bills are prime, right? The big question mark. Getting Stephon Diggs was all about Josh Allen here.
Right.
Everything is here for you to succeed, which is something that not every quarterback gets. You know, they're not in a position where it's like, okay, you need a top-flight receiver. Okay, we got you one. You need a good defense. I mean, that defense – and – the shame of it is they definitely underperformed last year, at least in my opinion, because I feel like the Bills are one great coaching staff, very good leadership, but it takes a while to learn how to win. Mm-hmm. And like when you get down in a game, like how to come back, like, or how to, when you get up, how to step on people's throats. Like that's a learned thing.
Yeah.
And I think they have the right staff in place and the right management, and they have a great roster. I want to see Josh Allen take the next step as far as being able to silence the doubt. There are always going to be doubters, right? But I think he doesn't have a lot of room for error because he is the guy, and they've given him a lot of resources. So he can't try to win it all with his legs and be trying to mow down people and throw the ball all the way downfield to, like, no one. You know what I mean? Like, it's like he has to understand how to preserve leads and how to get leads in games.
Yeah, and they're an interesting team, for sure.
And to your point about just the winning overall, and it takes time to learn how to win, I think that's why it was important for at least the Miami Dolphins to get a couple of wins down the stretch last year, because going into this year, I'm looking at the division. I'm like, they could finish second if Tua is actually pretty good.
Now,
I'm not sure, though.
Kimberly's looking like she wants to pump the brakes.
No. Just mind you, we were all like, look at the Dolphins last year, tanking away.
Mm-hmm.
Blatantly tanking all up in our faces.
Brian Flores.
And what Brian Flores is
native,
like,
Brian Flores, though.
Well, you know how to I think what they were able to do, I mean, part of why them even beating the Patriots and it was such a perfect ending, as much as, what did they finish, like 5-11?
5-11.
I mean, you
a
know,
lot of people beat, what, 2 wins at best?
Yeah, yeah. That was a great, that It was one of the best 5-11 seasons, because you saw a team that was getting buried just from the perspective of, like, they're not even trying to be, like, competitive. They're just, like, waving a white flag from jump. And it was, you know, the tank for Tua, and, like, oh, they're going to go after quarterback. So now they've got Tua, but they also have one of the greatest magicians on a football field in Ryan Fitzpatrick, because I don't know how this man is able to still be in the league. and still like get starting jobs, lose them, but get them again. Mm-hmm. But I love Ryan because he's pretty much like, yeah, I'll mentor Tua. Like, I think this kid's gonna be really good. Like, he's competitive as hell. So he can mentor and also be like, yeah, I'm gonna help you, but it's gonna be me playing on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Now, invariably, the Fitzmagic show, you know, turns to dust, and then, you know, the youngster is on the field sweeping anyway. But, I think that Miami has a good situation as far as letting Tua. I don't want to see Tua right away. I agree. I don't want to see him.
I agree.
So to me, it'll be a good situation as long as Fitz does what he does, you know, starts off the season throwing for 450 yards, and everybody's like, oh my God, Fitzmagic, you're so great. Da, da, da. And then at some point,
it becomes.
His team runs out. You know what I mean? It's fine because we can. I love the Fitz ride. I love it. But as long as Tua is healthy, he's learning, he's watching, the pressure's off in the very beginning, you're not expecting him to come in from week one and carry all that, I think it's a great situation. I'm excited. I shouldn't say I'm glad Brady's out the AFC East, but it is nice to see the division where the Patriots aren't penciled in as the favorite. Where there's still questions about, okay, I think Belichick can is still a great coach. Clearly, I mean, he went to Wesleyan where I went, so obviously he's a genius. But it's great that there are question marks around the Patriots, and we're excited about the Bills. We're excited about the Dolphins. And the Jets. I forgot. And the Jets. You know.
I wonder why.
Oh, your former.
It's not that I'm.
There are weird teams to try to predict this year.
You know what I'm interested in with the Jets? It's sort of like reading stuff. You're sort of like, oh, this is all Joe Douglas's team. How the 2020 Jets do is going to be more about Douglas. And it's sort of like, listen, if Adam Gase does not figure out how to get Le'Veon Bell involved in the offense, what's the point of Adam Gase being here? I thought he was the one. Everybody's mm-hmm. like, oh, he has a relationship with Peyton. Oh, he's so great. Okay, well then I expect Sam Darnold to take another leap. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, I expect, because in this division, like, it's prime for the taking in theory. You know what I mean? It is wide open. So if the Jets, to me, like with a coach like Gase, if he's the offensive guru that you hired him to be, then the Jets should really should be the favorite. You know, they should be like up there, like, okay, it's the Jets and the Bills. Like, who's really going to, you know? But I can't get excited. And it has nothing to do with my covering them.
Because the Jets are going to be the Jets. You feel like the Jets are going to be the Jets. You can say, like, I know you can't say it, Kim, but the Jets are probably going to be the Jets.
Record, if you both, Dex and Kim, if you had to pick a record, you're probably going to say you would expect them to do if everything breaks
the
right.
The Jets?
10-6, 9-7, something like that.
You're
probably thinking in your head, but.
But see, I would say it like him. I would say it.
And they're going to be 6-10, and then it's going to be like, oh, Sam Darnold's gone. They're going to get somebody else. It's going to be the same thing over and over.
I see what Kim did there. When you said 10-6, she was like, eh. And that's how I feel. I'm like, even if everything breaks right, I don't feel good about saying 10-6. You know what I'm saying, Kim?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not able to get those words out. 10-6.
That's what I'm saying. If you pencil them in for 8-8, 7-9, or 9-7 every year.
Right. I feel better. I'm in there.
You could do that. Yeah. I've always said you could do that with at least half the NFL every season, and you're going to be right.
Yeah. Now, Kim.
That's why there are only a few good teams in the NFL.
Consistently good. That is true. Now, Kim, a couple things before we get you out of here, because we do not want to take away from your time to enjoy such a beautiful afternoon out there.
Yes.
As she looks outside the window for those who are not watching. So you talked about the Patriots, and I think the Patriots, you can still say they're unsettled at QB if you want to say to some degree. I feel like a name that would be great for them out there would be Cam Newton. Explain to me why Cam Newton still does not have a job.
Cam is, you know how I said Corona's not letting us be great?
Yeah.
Corona not letting Cam be great this year. There are several reasons why Cam is not on a roster, and it still doesn't make sense to me. But, you know, the biggest thing is the health concern. And so if you are going to bring him in, you need to know exactly what you're getting. Yeah. And you're not going to want to rely on some third-party doctor, or watching workout videos of Cam, like, oh, yeah, he's really good. Yeah, I think he could be. You know, it's like you're going to want to get him in the building with your medical staff so they can check him out and make sure, like, okay, the money we're about to pay him is worth it. And I think that's the sad thing, because to no fault of his own, like, he can't go anywhere. You know, he wouldn't have been able to go anywhere and get checked out, right? But there's also the issue of, so the Panthers let him go, and I think he was going to count like 19.1 in non-guaranteed salary, right? So they're sort of like, okay, Matt Rhule, new coach, come in. He's like, well, we're not going to extend him. Like, we're not going to give him more money. Like, we don't know where he is health-wise. Like, okay, we're just going to move on. I honestly think Ron Rivera not picking him up and taking Kyle Allen, to me, was like,
what's going on there? Right.
Only because, you know, I talked to Ron Rivera at Super Bowl week when I was at Yahoo, working for Yahoo, on set. I interviewed him, and I said, you know, Cam is on the market. Like, what do you think? You know, and he's like, oh, there's no doubt. Like, he could still be that guy. Blah 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 blah. It's like, and as he was saying, I'm like, okay, well, that's his former coach. Obviously, he's gonna say that. You know, so then when he had the option, of, you know, and at that point, I think, you know, Super Bowl, Cam hadn't been released yet. It's sort of like, no. Cam sort of, right. You know. But when the Redskins had an opportunity to bring him in, it was sort of like, oh, even his own guy's not good, you know, like, oh, that's interesting. Now, with Cam, there's also the specter of, does he want to be a backup? Only Cam knows that. I won't even pretend that I can speak for him. Would he be fine being a backup with backup money, you know? And also, you bring Cam in. This isn't Ryan Fitzpatrick, who I think is still very good as a quarterback. This is a guy who, the minute anything goes wrong on the field with your starting quarterback, especially a young quarterback, fans call for Cam, because at least you know what Cam was. Like, you know what Cam has been able to do. So even if Cam is not 100%, it's like, okay, that guy I know, though. This young kid, I don't know what's happening here. Like, if the Bills were going to sign Cam Newton, right, to back up Josh Allen, you get big guy, can run, likes to run people over, you think, like, you know what? They could slide Cam in there easily, couldn't they?
Yeah, I can see it.
Have Josh Allen, you know, screw up a play, lose a game, have three, like you're saying, three bad games in a row, three-game losing streak. All of a sudden, Cam's presence now is – not because it's his fault, but it becomes a distraction. It becomes, I don't know if distraction is the word, but it becomes a QB battle. Now we're talking about the QBs. Now there's chatter that's like, okay, well, Sean McDermott, what about Cam? Like, he's there. Like, why did you keep Josh in?
And you're saying teams ultimately don't want to deal with that.
They don't. If you have drafted a guy, if you have a Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, like, still young, but been in the league a couple years, like, you don't want that. If you have if Ryan Fitzpatrick is not on the Dolphins and it was just Tua, like, you wouldn't want, you know, like, you wouldn't want that, because it's like, hey, Tua's the guy, you know? So it's a lot as far as, is it worth the headache for teams? And that's not a question. I'm not saying Cam is not, I'm not calling Cam a headache. I'm saying some teams and personnel people may be like, we don't need all that. Like, we just want a Matt Flynn type of backup who's just here. Like, the point of a backup is to help the young kid get prepared, or to, you know, study behind the quarterback. You know, the goal is never to see him on the field. You know what I mean? Like, if that's what you're looking for, then Cam is a complete opposite of that. I would like to see the, like, in the off season, well, at the end of last season, I was like, you know, I kind of want to see Cam in Chicago. I didn't think it would happen, but because of the Trubisky, like, is he the, like,
that? He's not.
I feel like I'm so over that conversation.
Who did they just acquire? They acquired somebody, didn't they?
Oh my gosh. Oh my God.
Was it Nick Foles?
Yeah, Foles.
They got Foles. Yeah.
I'm a fan of Nick Foles too, but you know, like that, like there are just so many teams that have sort of the like iffy, like, oh, that's mm-hmm. the guy, but you kind of want to know for sure that he's not the guy before you add a quarterback like Cam, who has major health questions right now.
Completely understood on that. Now,
and that goes to your point about Washington also, because you mentioned them. I mean, they do have Dwayne Haskins.
Haskins, so right.
And Haskins was brought in by a head coach who did not want him. So he already had to deal with that. And then Jay getting fired, then the interim head coach, and you've got Ron Rivera. You know, so that's a lot of newness for him. I don't know if adding Cam to that would have been a great thing. But
right.
If Cam is healthy, if you, you know, at some point you would say he's worth it. Because, you know, somebody catch COVID and our quarterback goes down. Like, we got, you know, starter right here, you know. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with him. I wonder if he sits out I don't think he'll sit out the year. But, you know, if a quarterback injury happens, is he that first phone call? I'm shocked that we're even talking about him
in this way. Work. Yeah.
But I get, but you know, it's sort of like, he, you know, the health thing right now. And COVID and, you know, people not needing short answers at a time when short answers aren't available.
Yeah.
I still think it might be New England, man.
I would love
New England. I'd love to see him there. It's going to be a fit.
I still think it's going to happen.
Can you imagine the pairing of Belichick and Cam?
I can't.
I mean, I
can't even imagine the fans getting behind him there. That's a whole nother interesting conversation.
Yeah. Look, if he shows
Cam up in New England,
if he shows up 1 week and then they beat the Bills 31-14, yeah, they'll be all over him there. As long as he wins, they don't care.
I want to see the post game press conferences. If
he loses, though, for right. You know,
but I want to see the post game press conferences. That's the only reason I would want to see Cam in New England, from the standpoint of like Belichick gets to the podium and then he just gets his surly like, no, yes. Yeah, okay, on to whoever. He gets off, and then Cam comes in with the flair.
That
I pay money to see.
Three feathers in a hat and everything. Yeah, he's going to.
Like an ascot. Like, Cam, we need Cam in the NFL.
Just, yes, we do. Yeah. Cam's entertaining.
He's a personality. He is who he is, and I like it. So.
He is. Now, before we let you get out of here, just to talk about a little bit about what's going on in the country and how that's sort of connected to football, we just saw Joey Burrow tweeted about what's going on. And I said this to somebody the other day, Kim. I said, you know, around sports, it's kind of time, I think, for a prominent white athlete to speak on these issues. We haven't seen that. There's been a lot of silence from certain people in the white community overall, but even in terms of sports and athletics. And I think it would be nice to hear that. And here comes Joey Burrow, first pick in the draft, quarterback, and he tweeted, the black community needs our help. They have been unheard for far too long. Open your ears, listen, and speak. This isn't politics. This is human rights. I thought it was a interesting tweet, especially coming from, you know, someone of his age, just new into the league, right? He's not prominent. He's not Tom Brady. He's not Aaron Rodgers. But he said this, with everything going on, and obviously, you know, sports and politics do mix. What were your thoughts on his tweet and just maybe the impact throughout the league of his tweet?
You know, the past couple of days was interesting because the first white quarterback tweet I saw was Carson Wentz.
Yes.
That was the first one I saw. And I was like, oh, okay.
Right.
Not only because to me, when I think of players speaking out, you know, like, I think of, like, Bills kicker Stephen Hauschka, who people don't even know. But, like, when I was up there, he and I did a story. And he was talking about white people need to speak up. Josh McCown, you know, former Jet and Eagle. But recently when we saw Brady and Julian Edelman and a couple other Patriots guys sign their name to a Players Coalition letter calling for a federal investigation into the Ahmaud Arbery death. The Brady thing made, I was like, oh, Tom Brady's like, he's showing support. Like, that's interesting, because you'd never seen these sort of, you'd never seen that before. So between that and Carson Wentz and Zach Ertz, and then Kirk Cousins on Instagram, it was surprise. It was like all these white players are sort of like coming out of the woodwork, and it was refreshing. It did catch me by surprise, because the issues that we're talking about are not new issues. But again, when I bring up COVID, to me, the one, if there is a benefit, I think the fact that we are forced to see things, we are forced to be in our homes, we're forced to watch the news more, we're forced to be on social media more because we're bored. Now you're seeing things you can't just turn away. You're not at the facility working, like you're, you know, so you're aware, and it's constant. Like, the images that we're seeing are constant. So, but Joey Burrow, I thought Joe Burrow tweeting that stood out, to your point, Dexter, because here's a guy, he hasn't even taken an NFL snap yet. Like, he hasn't even played in a game in the NFL. Yeah. And he, in that moment, was not, like, we talked to so many players who were like, oh, I have lots to say, but, you know, can't really mess up my money right now. Like, I can't get caught out there. And, like, mm-hmm. some, you know, I don't want to upset this person or that person. I've had lots of players say that to me. And you worry about status. So you have the number one pick in the draft before he's even really gotten to Cincinnati, and before he's really been able to ingratiate himself into the community and the city and play a game, he's using his voice and speaking for the Black community, or speaking in solidarity with the Black community, I should say. That's surprising, because a lot of people will say, I don't know if you really want to upset people right now. Like, I don't know if you want to be putting your voice out there, especially being so young. Like, you don't want to mess up anything. But one thing, I think some players may feel like it's now a safer space. I don't know. Hmm. Because once you see a Tom Brady add his name to a letter, now Malcolm Jenkins isn't vocal like Malcolm Jenkins or Anquan Boldin, right? But just seeing his name, I think, is a game changer in a sense. And it may allow other white players to feel like, okay, I don't know the right word to say, which is what Carson and Zach Ertz were saying. Like, I don't know what the perfect thing to say is, but I'm not even going to try to find the perfect words. Just know that, like, this hurts me and this can't happen in this country, you know? So hopefully we'll see more players just using their voices for positive change. And Burrow, it'll be interesting. It would be interesting if we had media access. And so Bengals writers are talking to him in the locker room on Monday, like, so that's, you know, but it's different. Now players, there aren't media microphones in their faces. It's their social media platforms that they have. That's how they're communicating how they feel. And we know with social media, like, you don't, in that moment, you may not have time to curate the perfect thought, or isn't that, you know, second where you're like, should I hit send? You know, you may just feel something and tweet it. And in that moment, Burrow felt, you know, that he had something to say. So that was refreshing. I'm wondering if we're going to see more of those.
Yeah, I'm definitely wondering if we'll see more of that as well, too. I guess before we let you get out of here, you said you don't think the Bucs will win the Super Bowl. With all the moves that have been made in the offseason, I know it's early. We think the NFL season will start on time. Who do you have winning the Super Bowl for the upcoming season?
Honestly, I think I've picked the Saints to win the Super Bowl the last couple of years.
So don't trust Kimberly Martin if she picks the Saints.
No, don't trust me. But actually, I just feel like which team consistently is ready and has the quarterback and has that winning mentality and has that, like, no matter what happens during a season, like, we can come back. Like, that's part of it too. And I think the Saints are primed for that. So right now, having with no football being played, no mini camps, nothing, I'm gonna go with, let's get, okay, okay. hey, Mr. Beard, what you got? Who do you think is going to win?
I like Baltimore. I think, you know, at some point you got to turn the corner. If you're Lamar Jackson, he's lost in the playoffs back-to-back years early. You know, at some point, you're just going to get to the Super Bowl if you just keep playing the way you are in the regular season. It'll carry over. We've seen it in basketball year after year where teams just – they're sort of on the cusp. Oklahoma City, they lose in the playoffs. Then they get a little bit further. They lose again. They're a little bit better in the regular season. They lose again. I'm just going to go with Baltimore. I also don't know if we're going to have a 16-game season, so I think that might benefit them as well.
Good point.
Interesting. Okay. Saints? Baltimore? I don't know who I pick. I'm not picking.
Come on.
Do I have to pick somebody?
Come on. I mean, Kansas City is so easy. Just pick it, guys.
I wanted to say Kansas City, but I actually don't think Kansas City is going to repeat. I do think that's a bit of an easy pick. I think I lean towards Baltimore a little bit. I like them. I was really rooting for them to get there last year, but I can see the Saints doing it. You know, if people just don't get too crazy about Taysom Hill, like, taking over starting quarterback. That's not going to happen. But, yeah, no, I like the Saints. I like Baltimore. I could see that. Could I see Kansas City repeating again? Yes. Do I think they will? No.
Do we see the 49ers coming back to the Super Bowl and winning?
I say no because I do not believe in their quarterback.
Yeah, I think they could get back.
I don't believe in Garoppolo, Kim. I just don't believe in him. If they, you know who could use Cam? The 49ers. Can use Cam. If healthy, I think you place Cam in there, and I think he's a guy who can take him over the top. I said
Green Bay last year, but I did not like their offense. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's that.
They also took a quarterback in the first round.
That's true. So we'll.
Yeah, and Aaron was surprised, just like the rest of us.
Mm-hmm. We all were surprised about
Aaron
that.
Aaron Rodgers playing 2021.
Oh, the Jets, because that's where. Just because. No, Aaron Rodgers would have to be
Green Bay Packer great before. They've done
right.
It.
Yeah, yeah. But see, Aaron Rodgers will go somewhere else, and then when he's on his last leg, will come to the Jets. Good Aaron Rodgers wouldn't be on the Jets. It'd be like that would be the kick in the teeth. Like. Yeah. Aaron just a year away from being completely done. Woody Johnson will sign him.
Typical Jets. Sounds like that. Kim, thank you for joining us as usual. I know you took time on a beautiful afternoon where you should have been outside.
Yes.
And although you did not want to give any love to Larry Fitzgerald going to the great University of Pittsburgh, still love you. And you know, we appreciate you coming on for the third time. Now, the big question is the next time we have Kim on.
No. Kimberly will still.
We'll still be employed by the same employer. Gotcha.
Yes.
Brian didn't even see where we were going.
Brian's even laughing.
Yeah.
But
Kim saw where I was going. She was like,
I'm
going to be
very serious. So,
Kim is like, I'm very serious. This will not happen. And
but in fairness, like at this point, it's like, all right, what could the next move possibly be?
Whatever it is, because it's the great Kimberly Martin. I know it's going to be great. So that's all I'm going to say, Kim. I'm just going to leave it like that and put that kind of energy
Thank
out there.
You.
I'm going to leave
you.
It like
yeah,
that.
Let's not get her in trouble. She just got.
No, I'm not trying to.
Please, come on now.
We are thrilled. We are thrilled and happy for your success, and we wish you, much great more. I know you're going to have a lot of great articles and a lot of great feature pieces coming out that I can't wait to see. So, thank you once again. Again, that's a great Kimberly Martin, NFL writer. For ESPN. You can check her work out on there. That's it for episode 131 of the Ain't Hard to Tell podcast, as Brian just chugged down a huge gulp of water or whatever he was drinking. I don't even know what that was.
Beard all wet and soppy. I don't know. Like, he just...
Yeah,
My beard's like, it's, you know, what are we gonna do? You should see my hair on my head. It's crazy.
No,
we're good. We don't.
I have a little mini fro.
Kimberly's getting that one. All right, that's it for episode 131 of the AR to Tell podcast. For the great Kimberly Martin and Brian Fonseca, I'm Dexter Henry. Until next time, y'all. Peace.